The Spirit of God dwells in you. Did anybody just fall over in amazement when I said that? The Spirit of God dwells in you. Every Christian battles with. Paul did, and here's how he summed it up in Romans 7, verse 25. With the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. The new me, my spirit, the inner man, the born again man, my mind loves God's law and wants more than anything to live by it, but my flesh, my body, that old nature that I'm stuck with for now, always wants to sin. The flesh always wants to sin. Oh, wretched man that I am, Paul cried out in frustration, who will deliver me from this body of death? And he's told us where the answer is to be found. I thank God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the answer. And now in Romans chapter 8, he's telling us how Jesus is the answer. He's reminded us that, of course, in Christ we are forgiven, but he's told us that there's more to it than that. He's told us that Jesus died not only so that we could be forgiven, but also so that we can live righteously. He said we've been changed. We're changing. We have been born again. We have a new nature, a spirit, and the spirit is overcoming the flesh. We're becoming more and more like Jesus all the time. And that, I think, is where we left it last time. But Paul isn't done explaining how Jesus is the answer to our problem with the flesh. There's more. And we're going to read just three more verses this morning and look at them together. Romans 8, verses 9, 10, and 11. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. There are five things in those verses that I want to point out to you this morning. Five amazing things that Paul says are true of every Christian. First comes at the beginning of verse 9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. You're not in the flesh. Now, clearly, Paul doesn't mean that you no longer live in your body. Obviously, you do. What he means is, well, we've been saying that there are two ways to live. You can live according to the flesh, you can give in to it, or you can live according to the Spirit and be led by its desires. Well, Paul says, Christian, you're not in the flesh, you are in the Spirit. Now, the Spirit, your born-again nature indwelt and directed and empowered by God's Holy Spirit, now the Spirit rules. Oh yeah, there are still battles to be fought. The battle between the flesh and the Spirit still rages every day. The difference is that now the Spirit is the decisive influence. The Spirit has the upper hand. That's what it means to be in the Spirit. So you're in the Spirit, now the Spirit rules. You're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, Paul says, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. If you're a Christian at all, he's saying, the Spirit rules. And that begs the question, well then, if the Spirit is not ruling, can you be a Christian? Well, thankfully, Paul's going to get back to that one, so we'll park that for now, and we'll come back to it too. That's for another day. But anyway, that's the first thing to remember this morning. The Spirit rules. Took that thought away. The second thing Paul says is true of every believer is also found in verse 9. You're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. The Spirit of God dwells in you. Didn't anybody just fall over in amazement when I said that? The Spirit of God dwells in you. God's Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, equal with God in dignity and power, eternal, all-powerful, all-knowing, go-anywhere, do-anything God, creator of the universe, triumphant over sin and death, holy, righteous, purer than light, the comforter, the helper, the giver of spiritual gifts, the one who guides into all truth, the Holy Spirit dwells in you. He dwells. He abides in you. He doesn't just drop in for a visit from time to time. You're his home. He has put down roots. He belongs in you. He's near to you. He's familiar with you. His influence is constant. You're never without him. God's Holy Spirit dwells in you. And Paul repeats it three times. The Spirit of God dwells in you, he says. You have the Spirit of Christ, he says. And in verse 10, Christ is in you. It's all the same thing said in different ways. You are never without Jesus, never far from Jesus. Didn't he say, I am with you always, even to the end of the age? And he is. God's Spirit dwells in you. Is that not amazing? You could spend all day just thinking about that and the ramifications and implications of it. It's worth sitting down and thinking long and hard about what it means. I'd encourage you to do that later today when you get the chance. And shouldn't it be life-changing? The Holy Spirit dwells in you. If you're not familiar with him, if you're not communing with him, if you're not being influenced by him, if your life has not been and is not being radically transformed by him, something is seriously wrong. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. Don't ignore him. Don't resist him. And don't grieve him. Well, that's the second thing that Paul tells us is true of every Christian. The Spirit of God dwells in you. You have the Spirit of Christ. Christ is in you. And just in case you didn't take note, he says it clearly, this is true of every Christian. If anybody tells you that you need to receive the Holy Spirit as an add-on after you're saved, well, he hasn't read Romans 8, verse 9. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Two amazing things so far then. You're in the Spirit rules, and the Holy Spirit dwells in you. Before we move on to number 3, just bring those two things together. You're in the Spirit, and God has given you a Spirit that loves him. You've been born again with that new nature. You have a heart and a mind that loves Jesus and loves his ways. So then, as the Holy Spirit works within you and prompts you and influences you and guides you, the Holy Spirit prompting, influence, and guiding, and your Spirit responding joyfully, freely. That's how it ought to be. You see, it's not that the Holy Spirit barks out orders and you have to obey them. And it's not that the Holy Spirit takes control and makes you do the right thing all the time. No, there's just this happy, joyful interaction going on inside you all the time. Well, there should be. And there's more. The Holy Spirit doesn't just influence your spirit. He, the Spirit of life, enlivens your spirit. He sustains He refreshes. He enables your spirit. And he gives you everything you need to do whatever it is he leads you to do. Wow. That's what it is to be in the Spirit. Your spirit indwelt and empowered by the Holy Spirit. And that is all true of every Christian, Paul tells us here. Then there's a third thing that Paul tells us sets us apart from everyone else. He says, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And the implication of that is that if anyone does have the Spirit of Christ, and every Christian does, we've just established that, if anyone does have the Spirit of Christ, he is his. You belong to Jesus, in other words. Jesus has laid a claim on you. He has moved in. He has taken possession. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Jesus didn't claim you to let you go. He didn't buy you to lose you again. He claimed you and he bought you to have you and to keep you. You're a chosen race, Peter says, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. You are his treasured possession. That's what that means. You belong to Jesus. You are his treasure. And that's number three. Aren't these the most incredible things? And there's more. The fourth thing that Paul says is true of every believer comes in verse 10. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. What does that mean? Even though we are in the spirit, and even though the Holy Spirit dwells in us, and even though we are Jesus' treasured possession, we still live in our bodies. And those bodies are dying. And in that, you're no different from people who are not saved. We're all going to die unless Jesus comes back first. In fact, our bodies are already dying, bit by bit. Some of you know that better than others, don't you? Some of them are more dead than others. And it's no crack living in a body that's dying. The body that you're stuck with for now, death. Because of sin, says Paul. There's no is in there. That's just added to make it sound better in English. The body, death, because of sin. But your spirit isn't dying. It's never going to die. And this is the fourth thing that's true of every Christian. The spirit isn't going to die. Praise God, the spirit isn't going to die. The spirit, life, says Paul. If Christ is in you, the body, death, but the spirit, life. Your spirit has been made alive and is kept alive, and it will never, never die. And I'm sure you're very glad about that. There is a wee touch of sadness about it, isn't there? The spirit will live forever, and that's great. But the body, the flesh, will die. One day the two are going to be ripped apart. The spirit will go to be with the Lord and the body will be left behind and put in a box and stuck in the ground to rot. But that means that the spirit won't have a body to live in. Surely it wasn't meant to be that way. The body is dead because of sin. Sin did that. But aren't we meant to have bodies? Bodies that aren't dying? So there's the fifth amazing thing that Paul tells us is true of every Christian. Verse 11. He said, you're in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. You belong to Christ. Your body is dying, but your spirit is alive and it's going to live forever. And then verse 11. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit that dwells in you. In other words, the separation's not going to last forever. God didn't create your body just for it to be thrown away. Jesus didn't purchase your body to throw it away. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and just as Jesus raised up the temple of his own body, he's going to raise your body up and dwell in you, spirit and body, forever and ever. In other words, he's going to put you back together again someday. Your spirit will be clothed in a new body, and that new body will be perfect. Well, that's you, Christian. Five things. You're in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. You belong to Jesus. Your spirit is alive and will live forever. And one day your spirit will be clothed in a new perfect body. Is that amazing or is that amazing? And doesn't that make you just want to worship God? Of course it does. Now, let's take those five things quickly, pop them back into their context. How is Jesus the answer to your problem with the flesh? Remember, that's the question that Paul's dealing with here. He's told us we couldn't go on living in the flesh, letting it control us, because if we did, we could never please God. So he's told us Jesus came and died for us, not just so that we could be forgiven, but also so that we could be born again. And we've been made alive, and a spirit has been born in us, and a spirit that has a mind to please God, and a spirit that delights in God and his ways, and a spirit that hates and resists the sinful influence of the flesh. Now Paul says we are in the Spirit. The Spirit has the upper hand. And as well as that, the Holy Spirit dwells in us, so our born-again spirit doesn't just hate and resist the influence of the flesh. It has all the power it could possibly need to overcome the flesh. And Jesus, who purchased us, has staked his claim and made us his possession. Nothing can undo what he has done. Yes, we still have our dying bodies. Yes, the flesh still troubles us. The mind of the flesh is still enmity against God. There's still a battle between spirit and flesh every single day. Oh, wretched man that I am. But the flesh doesn't dominate anymore. The spirit has the upper hand. The spirit is stronger and it's indwelt and empowered by God's Holy Spirit. It's still a battle, but we're making progress. We're becoming more and more like Jesus. Every time the spirit overcomes the flesh. We're not there yet. None of us can say yet the righteous requirement of the law is being fulfilled in me. Far from it. But one day, because Jesus came and lived and died to be our representative, one day the flesh is going to die and it'll trouble us no more. And the spirit, your spirit, will go to be with the Lord. And then it will be all righteousness. The flesh will be out of the way. All righteousness. But even that's not the job complete. There'll come a day when your spirit will be clothed in a risen, renewed body. New flesh, perfect and sinless in every way, sinless like his body. And that's when the problem of the flesh will be fully dealt with. Then the righteous requirement of the law will be fulfilled in you. Well, that's something to look forward to, isn't it? The good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to happen. Now, here's your takeaway question for this week. Two sermons ago I asked you, are you changing? And how important is that changing to you? And last time we were together, I asked you, what is your mindset? Are you being careful to maintain the mindset of the Spirit? Here's this week's question, and it's one that Paul himself asks in another context in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? When a guest comes to stay in your house, it makes a difference, doesn't it? You men, you're nice to your wife when somebody else is staying in the house. And you parents, you're patient with the children. And you all restrain some of your more unsavory habits. You're just a different person when there's a guest about. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? If you were really conscious of that every moment, every day, that God's Holy Spirit is within, and He is. My, what a difference that would make. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? And if you're not saved, well, those five things are true of every Christian, and they can be true of you. Whatever you've done, whatever your sin, however bad it might be, you can be born again. God's Holy Spirit can take up residence in your life. You can belong to Jesus, and you can look forward to eternity with Him in a new and perfect body. All you have to do is come to Him, ask Him to save you, take Him at His word, live like you do. Come determined to live like you believe Jesus and all that He is and all that He said, and stop going the way of the flesh. You can't please Him that way. You never will, because the way of the flesh is death, but the way of the Spirit is life. Let's pray. Oh Father, what amazing things You have taught us in Your word. What amazing things You have done for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And oh Lord, how it grieves us, the struggle that we have with sin, and we keep falling and we keep getting it wrong. But we praise You that in the Lord Jesus Christ You have made a way. We will be delivered, and one day we will fully and completely overcome the flesh. How we look forward to that day.